Good morning again. The scripture passage today will be taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading this morning.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. It's good to join with you in worship in this way. We here at Fast Salvos are trying all that we can to keep connection, and one of those ways is through this online forum. So we want to say thank you again to the team that are making that happen. We look forward to catching up with you straight after church. We're going to stop the online stream to YouTube and then join together in an online interaction through Facebook, our Facebook Salvo chat, FastFan Salvo chat group. So we'll look forward to chatting with you there. But I wonder for you whether there are ever times where you have thought to yourself, well, I'm in chains for Christ. And we look at that verse this morning from Paul's letter to the church, and we wonder to ourselves, what planet are you on, buddy? How can he say those words that we shared last week? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How does he say rejoice when he's in chains? How does he say rejoice when he's in jail? It's easy to have rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice on the fridge as a magnet. It's okay to have it as a screensaver on our computer. It's okay to have it on a greeting card or a coffee mug. But what about when the rubber hits the road and we actually have to do that? When we actually have to rejoice? When we actually choose to rejoice? When we get upset? When there's a flat tire in our car? Do we rejoice? Not usually, not often. When we see heartache within our communities, do we rejoice or do we take the opportunity to connect with others? How could Paul possibly be rejoicing? That's what I don't understand. How could Paul possibly be rejoicing in the midst of living in a jail cell? The story goes about two people that were in the neighbouring jail cells who shared one window. And the window was up quite high, and each and every day one guy sat on the ground and he did all that he could to wonder about how long it's going to be that he has to sit in this jail cell. How long is it going to be that I'm going to have to look at these four walls? It has been so long and I just don't seem to be able to see than anything else, but these four walls, it's getting so depressing, so boring. I can't seem to see past these bars. I can't seem to see past these four walls. The gentleman on the other side, he did all that he could to look past the bars, and he saw the stars, and he wondered and imagined what it meant, what it was like to be on the other side. What's it going to be like when we are no longer in jail? When I am no longer in jail, what is the green grass going to look like? What are the stars going to look like? What's it going to look like out there in this world in which he was imagining beyond that those four walls of the jail cell? You see, these two gentlemen were both in the same position, but they looked one of them looked at the bars and one of them looked past the bars and saw the stars. This morning, I think that is the story of Paul in this passage that Debbie read for us from Philippians, that he was in chains for Christ. He looked past the bars and saw the stars. He looked past what was happening for him. The peace of God was his, he possessed that in that space. How could Paul rejoice when he was locked up? How could he praise and dream of preaching when he went to bed, he was in prison? Because you see, friends, it's all about perspective. It's all about the perspective in which Paul was looking at things. He had a perspective of praise. I don't know about you, but there are so many frustrations for me right at the moment. You know, those things that you take for granted, like catching up with friends for coffee, going out with a group of friends and going and sitting at a coffee shop. It might be just going over to a friend's place for dinner. You can't do any of those at the moment, and there's a level of frustration that comes with that. And you may be feeling those frustrations too, and I certainly feel them. I feel them terribly at the moment. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she said it's her absolute dream run right at the moment, because being an introvert, she gets her source of power from being on her own, and she just loves the fact that she is given that permission for that to be the acceptable space within community. And so for me, I'm on the opposite end. I get all my energy and all my power from being around other people. And well, we all know what's happening with that at the moment. It's not going so well. You know, if the Paul version that we could have read this morning is a version that says this. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really sucks. Me being put in jail is not really that great. God's let me down. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety and hopelessness because of all the things that I've been through. I'm quitting and never going to continue to follow God's way. But no, that's not what he said. He said these things because he had a perspective of praise. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. That means everybody knows about it, and to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ. He could have had a perspective of pain, that is, my dreams are over, I'm stuck here, I can't sleep, breathe. But instead he had a perspective of praise. That is, he didn't see that when he was arrested. He never said, he lived with that promise that God was never going to leave him or forsake him. It wasn't the first time that Paul was put into prison. It wasn't the first time that he praised in there either. If we look in Acts chapter 16, we see in there the story of Paul and Silas. And in that story of Paul and Silas, we see that they were praising. And what happened at the end of that? Look in verse 22 of Acts chapter 16. Stripped and beaten with rods. Absolutely give you every reason, right? To have that perspective of pain, but still they had a perspective of praise. We read on in verse 25 of that chapter that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. After being stripped and beaten, they still chose to have a perspective of praise. We've been looking for the last couple of weeks at this series together, Anxious for Nothing. And here's a great example of Paul and Silas being anxious for nothing. In the midst of being stripped and beaten, they still chose to sing. They chose a sacrifice of praise. And the other prisoners were listening to them as they sang. You see, I think the guards made a massive mistake. They made a massive mistake. They should have separated Paul and Silas, but instead what they did was they put them together and then they were connected. And then they gained strength from being with each other. The enemy wants to isolate you and he wants to isolate me. He is a sniper. Easy to pick off. One on one on one. But if we are keeping connected, and at this time where things are so much about social distancing and isolation, friends, I want to encourage you to keep connected. We've got Daily Dose of Hope every single day that's getting posted to our Facebook group. We've got opportunities to be involved in Bible study and life groups together. We're going to be doing that. Keep connected. The best thing that we can do is to keep connected in this time. It would be very easy to fall into the trap of feeling isolated even more than what is necessary. We want to continue to be praying together. We want to continue to be praising together. They were praising God whilst they were in prison. They didn't wait till they left prison. They were praising God while they were there. What wasn't praise for the what? They weren't praising for the what. They were praising for the who God is. We can still be praising God for who He is. We're praising Him before the provision is made. We are choosing to praise God for what He is about to do, what He continues to do, what He hasn't even done yet, but is planning to do. And if you want to continue to read on in that passage from Acts chapter 16, bit of a spoiler alert this morning, whilst they were worshipping, there was an earthquake. While they were worshipping and giving God praise for His providence to them, the doors flung open and the chains came loose. Why does this matter so much? Because Paul wrote Philippians while he was in prison. God could have easily delivered him, but He didn't. Praised him while he was in jail. He praised him while he was there. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was an earthquake, and all the doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. What happened next? Paul stayed. He could have easily left at that point. They were singing praises to who God is. Every corner of the prison shakes, doors fly open. The keys that unlock our miracle is the sound of our praise. Now, they don't have to be, we talked about it last night in the Daily Dose, they don't have to be special songs that we sing, special words that we say, but it's about connecting with God with every fibre of our being, and that our worship would be Monday through Saturday as much as it is on Sunday. You see, friends, he had a perspective of praise. We could easily be like that first guy that I spoke about this morning who looked at the bars. And our worship team's going to come and join with us in a minute. We're going to sing a song. But as they're coming, I want to talk to you about that. He could have easily been the guy who looked at the bars, who looked at the bars and said, "There's no hope for me. There's no hope on the horizon. There's no hope for me. I don't know where God is in all of this." Or he could have been the guy who was looking past the bars and saw the stars, imagining what God is going to do in that space, the breakthrough that God is going to make in that space. He had a perspective of praise when he could have easily had a perspective of pain. So this morning, friends, I want to give you an encouragement that as we journey these days, and we are in week 3 now of this series on Anxious for Nothing, that you take the opportunity to have a perspective of praise. Let's look past the bars and see the stars of what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will continue to do into our futures. We're going to sing together a song that says that I have a maker. He calls me his own. Even before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. If there's not a reason to have a perspective of praise this morning, if there's no greater reason, then that's it, isn't it? Isn't that it? That we would have a perspective of praise because God knows our name. He sees every tear that falls and hears me when I call. We are not alone. In these days of isolation and distancing, we are not alone. We have a maker. He calls us his own. Our worship team's going to come and share with us this song. It's a marvelous song. And I'd invite you to sing along or just spend some time in reflecting in what God is doing. And I look forward to chatting to you soon. God bless you, friends.